Our theme, Larry, musicians come and play right there with Larry Rezavi and the Out of Town Checks wrapping up, means it's time for another edition of our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM, and it is program 559 in that continuing series. As you're listening to your dependable neighbor for all of central Minnesota, KASM Albany 1150 AM, KDDG Albany 105.5 HD2, 107.7 on your FM dial, and streaming on the World Wide Web at mychasm.com. We're coming up on 14 minutes now before the hour of 12 noon. We do have our guest on the line. We're going to go to the phone line and bring him in. Say good morning to Mr. Eric Mouse. Eric, how are you doing?
I'm really good, Cy. How are you?
Oh, good to hear from you. You bet. And a beautiful day here in central Minnesota, huh?
Yes, it's very, very nice.
Where do we have you at? Are you at home today, Eric?
We're actually currently on Sullivan Lake. Me and my oldest son were just docking the boat or taking the boat out of the water up by the Sullivan Lake access.
Oh, well, good for you. Were you out fishing or just boating, or what were you up to this morning?
Yeah, we have a cabin on Sullivan Lake, and we spent a few days up here and had the boat so the kids could go enjoy the time and go fishing.
Okay, very good. Well, Eric, for folks don't know who you are exactly, of course, they knew your dad very well, and we're going to spend some time reminiscing about Gilly Mouse and the Country Polketeers, but give us a background. Where were you born and raised, and tell us a little bit about Mom and Dad and the family. Tell us about yourself.
Sure. Yeah, we're born and raised probably 5 miles west of Piers, between Piers and Little Falls, on a dairy farm. And I have two older sisters, Jenny and Stacy, and two younger brothers, Jim and Steve, and I was the middle one.
Okay, so. You're the hinge on the teeter-totter, huh?
Yep.
There you go. Okay, I probably attended Piers High School then, schooling system?
Yes, yeah, we all went to Piers School. It was Holy Trinity or St. Joseph's Catholic School in grade school, and then we went to Ely High in high school, yep.
Okay. So you were a pioneer growing up then, huh?
Absolutely.
There you go. And they've had some good programs, athletic programs, and good school system over there, developed some very good people, and you were one of them. So graduated from high school. Did you go on to any college or anything, Eric?
Yeah. So after college, I went to CLC up in Brainerd and went for a horticulture landscape degree up there and for a 2-year course. And then after that, started my own landscape company, and this year would be 25 years of doing that.
So. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Are you sure you didn't start when you were about 2 years old already? Because I didn't think you were that age. So good for you.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy how fast time flies already. To say that is doesn't sound right.
Yeah, for sure. How about yourself? Family there too?
Yes, yes. So my wife Carrie, and then we have three sons: Evan, who's 15, and then Alex, who is 7, and Lucas, who is 5.
Okay, very good. Very good. Now, in the process of growing up, and you had a music family that you were part of, did you get involved with any of the music?
Yeah, we did. I think all of us kids, we played instruments in school, like in school band. I think Jenny played trumpet. Stacy played saxophone, and then she played piano, and then myself and Jim played drums, and I think Steve played drums for a little while. So
okay,
yeah, we all did that, and then me and my brother Jim, being only a year and a half apart, like when we were about 15 years old, like on Sundays we would go with mom and dad. We kind of started out like at Mulder's Tavern, and they'd do like a 1 to 4 play gig up there, and then we started doing that, playing with them just on Sundays so Gordy could have a day off with his family. And yeah, it was fun, you know.
Okay.
It was something you never did before, so.
Sure. So you did get to handle the sticks a little bit and keep the beat, huh?
Yeah. No. Yeah, Jim and I, you know, we'd always try to throw in our little ads to the set, and sometimes we threw a little too much for a waltz or a polka and stuff like that. Dad would tell us to bring the reins in, but yeah, we had a lot of fun.
You bet. Well, of course, being the son of Gilly Mouse, and we want to remember Gilly a little bit now today, because we're coming up on July 10th this week on Thursday, or July 12th, I should say, on Saturday, and I'll never forget, because, of course, that's my birthday that day, and that's the day that Gilly passed away. What do you remember about it? What were your last memories of Dad? And tell us a little bit about that.
I think it was on a Monday evening.
Yeah.
And I know the last time I seen him I was over at their house was that Thursday after work, because we were doing a little job in Piers. But so I talked to him on Thursday night, and then I knew they had Holding 4 Days. They were playing there on Saturday, and then they're playing a gig at the Little Falls Ballroom on Sunday. So I didn't get a chance to see him that weekend, but I know mom said, and everybody playing there said that they had a really good time in Holding Ford, and then at the ballroom had a really good time, and then he went and took some tents down because he had a tent business.
Mm-hmm.
With his guys on Monday, and had a good day. It was a long day, but a good day, and came home, and he was real happy, and he was just he was happy to the end. So that's
you bet.
And evidently, what I remember.
Evidently, it was a massive heart attack, huh?
Yeah, right.
As everybody knows, yeah. And how old would have you been about that time? I mean, that was what 15 years ago now.
Yeah, 15 years ago already. So I'd have been 30.
30 at that time, and still way too young. I mean, you're never ready for that day to come, huh?
No. I mean, I remember, Sunday night I was driving through Piers, and I actually drove by their place, and I was going to stop in, you know, just to chat a little bit, but I was tired, and I knew that they had played at the ballroom. So I actually drove by, I debated, and I said, well, I'll just let them be for a while, because even up to that, you know, week, there was still things to do at their house. They built a new house.
And, mm-hmm.
You know, there's the punch list, always little things to do. So I was over there a lot, and I thought about it, and I'm like, well, I'll just let them have them a little peace time, you know.
Sure.
Themselves, instead of bother them after a long weekend. And yeah. So it was like, well, turning back, you definitely would have stopped in, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, if we had a second chance, so many things we'd do different. But
right. But
yeah, you remember him as he was, and he was such a great person, great personality. He was the heart and soul of the Country Polkateers. Do you agree?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think...
Him and mom, you know, mom was a strong sidekick, but that was his passion, you know, or yeah. one of his many passions was always communicating with the vendors where he was playing and lining up, you know, coordinating with all his band members and making CDs and, you know, everything.
Yeah, and I think in conversation with your mom, I think she said that they played one more job that, I mean, they had a lot of jobs booked at that time yet, but I think they played one more, and I think Jerry Biersbach filled in with for your dad's part there. But after that job, even though it went well, your mom said that's the end of the Country Polketeers because it's just not the Country Polketeers without Gilly.
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah, I mean, it was... Even my brother, you know, brother Jim, like he was in the band the last, I don't know, maybe the last 10 years.
Yeah.
But yeah, he put down the sticks too because he just didn't feel the same, you know.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And it's just amazing what happens when one of the true members of the band just, it's just not the same. I heard similar stories from other bands when somebody passes, most of the time tragically or suddenly, it puts such a hole there, and you just can't replace them, and so you just go on and just live on the memories. You know, the fortunate thing about the music business is the fact that a lot of bands over the years have recorded, and I said you can be Eric the plumber or Eric the electrician or whatever. And 30 years after you're gone, or in this case, 15 years after you're gone, they say, who was that? The plumber? I don't remember them. But when you've got those CDs or albums and you see Elmer Scheid's name or you see Whoopi John's name or Gilly Mouse and the Country Polketeers, I mean, Whoopi John and some of those guys, they're gone for 40, 50 years or more already. And their names are still very much recognized. People, you know, they don't have to say, who was that? They know. So that's the neat thing about music. If you get your name inside one of those album covers or CD covers, you'll be remembered forever, I think. Neat, huh?
I agree with that. I mean, even in our day-to-day life of landscaping, I mean, working all over, I've met so many people that knew him.
Yeah.
It blows your mind. Like, yeah, there are people all over that just remember certain you know, music that they always followed since they were young, you know. So
you bet.
I agree.
And they've seen their share of tragedy through the years too. I remember your mom telling about they were going to a dance job at New Munich one time, and their drummer at the time was Noel Meyer. And here, if he wasn't involved in a fatal automobile accident right at the intersection there by the New Munich ballroom, and they didn't realize till they got to the dance hall. They drove by it, but they didn't realize that it was their drummer, Noel Meyer, that got killed there, huh? And still had to play that job.
Yeah, I remember hearing the stories of that, and yeah, that would be a tough one to do, to put on a smile after seeing, you know, one of your band family members, you know, go through an accident like that and still have to play the show. But yeah, I remember that story. That was a painful one.
So. Yeah, and your mom was telling that, you know, they had to play it because it was a wedding dance for a couple, and you know, they didn't necessarily know Noel. But and so they wanted their event to go on, and so your mom and dad, being professional that they were, they said they played, but they kept the lights off. They did their best job to entertain the people with the music, but in their hearts, their heart wasn't in it. You know, it was a tough night.
Yeah. No, I remember hearing that story a couple different times, being around them, and yeah, that was. That was one of the tough times, but they always put the people at the job first, and you know, yeah, you just got to tough it out.
Yeah, they were professional, and then through the years, then Gordy Austin became their drummer, and he was a good drummer, and really, your dad and Gordy, they were a 1-2 punch. I heard a lot of stories about them over the years, all over the place, and yet here Gordy comes down with cancer, and then he dies, and. And again, they had to deal with that and pull Jim in or you or for drumming and stuff, huh?
Yeah, Gordy was a hoot. Gordy, he's a great, great human being, and he fit the drum set with that band perfectly because they were a good 1-2, like you said, played off each other good, and even like I think like the Oh Yeah CD. I mean, that's Gordy was up there yelling all the time, hooting, hollering. He is keeping everybody entertained, and he was an excellent drummer too. So yeah, he was awesome.
You bet. And did you ever? You said you picked up the sticks and played some drums through the years. Did you ever get the hankering to pick up the concertina at all to learn from your dad?
You know, I never did. I growing up, I just loved playing drums. I think Jim and I got our drum set. We wanted a drum set for a couple of years. I think I was in like third grade, 7, 8 years old. And they got us a makeshift drum set downstairs, and that was our passion. I mean, we played down there until Mom shut off the lights, and then we couldn't see, so we had to stop. So that's all we cared about. Our youngest brother, Steve, Dad got him a little concertina, and then he'd play on that, you know.
Sure.
And he took some passion in that for a while, too. But, like, no one else did that in the family. It was, you know, Jenny played trumpet. Everybody had their own thing that they liked doing. So.
Yeah. And, you know, when you look back at your dad, and I'm sure he played, practiced at home. You probably heard him a lot growing up through the years. It took a special person, and it's a special art to play that instrument. The concertina, you know, that's really a neat instrument.
Oh, I think I didn't take a passion into it just because I don't think there's any shot I'd be able to do it. Yeah. You know, like all the buttons, you're not looking at them and
right.
You're around, you're interacting. It's like, no way.
Oh.
I'll do something easier. I'll bang some cymbals.
So. Yep. and your dad was so good because he was such a showman up there on the stage, and he was one of them that was so practiced, so good. He could play that concertina. His fingers would keep going, and he'd bend over and talk to some people or this or that. That just amazes me. I've played concertina in my lifetime, and like I've said many times here, they pull the music away from me, or if you're on a float on the parade or something out in the open air and a sheet blows away, I'm all done. I can't do it no more. But your dad was one of them that he played enough that he knew a lot of songs by heart. His fingers kept going, even though, you know, he was talking to somebody or whatever the case might be. I just take my hat off to him. He was great.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, he practiced, you know, when we were growing up, we'd be out doing chores and couple band members would be over practicing, you know, say like once a month or whatever, and they'd practice. But, you know, that was the second half of his playing career. Like the first half, I can only imagine how many times he practiced, because he'd be playing on stage and he'd be BSing with a guy doing a waltz going by and you know, think like it's nothing. So yeah, it was pretty impressive.
Well, very good, Eric. We've reached 12 o'clock here in central Minnesota. Time to read the ad for our sponsor, the St. Joe Meat Market. Then I'll come back to you, if that's all right, Eric.
It sounds great, Si.
All right. So Si here for the St. Joe Meat Market. And did you know that the St. Joe Meat Market still grinds hamburger fresh daily several times a day and even more often on the busier weekend days? You will understand how important this is if you ever buy burger at one of the big box supermarkets. Go home and open up that package and find that pool of blood on the bottom of the package, or that soggy, soaked-up type diaper in the bottom of the package that they use. This is because they grind it so far in advance, causing it to have an odor or an off-taste. Come into the St. Joe Meat Market this week and treat your family to some fresh, fresh ground beef. The brat of the week this week is our smoked Joe Town brat. It is another of the many flavored brats made for you at the St. Joe Meat Market. They are the same great brat that was served at the St. Joe Parish Festival this past weekend. Come in and try some for yourself. This week you can take 30 cents off each package at the checkout counter, all week long, unlimited quantities. On this weekend, Friday and Saturday, it will be the St. Joe Lions hosting and cooking at the outdoor brat sale out in front of the St. Joe Meat Market. Come out and enjoy a brat and a beverage for a reasonable fee. As always, for more in-store specials at the St. Joe Meat Market, like us on Facebook, look for us on the web, www.stjosephmeatmarket.com, or you can always call 320-363-4913 for more information. And we thank you, Eric, for being our guest on the show. And this is how it works. We put up a nice meat package at the meat market along with Kaz, and we get that to you. and hope that you and your family enjoy it in good health. In this case, I was going up north through the Brainerd area on Tuesday, and I thought instead of mailing the package, I will just drop it off at your mom's place, and you could pick it up from there, and you did. And how is that looking for you?
Oh, it's awesome. Thank you very much for doing that.
You bet. And we're so thankful that you're taking time out to remember Gilly. And we should say a few words about your mom, too. And your mom, bless her heart, she is continuing. You know, life is kind of a struggle, and we don't all get the same life sentences. So, you know, that's 15 years ago since he passed away. And you can share your memories, but when your dad passed away, your mom just kind of buttoned up at home and was kind of withering away because she just didn't think there was any more to life. Isn't that true?
Yeah, like, so then, yeah, she, you know, she was only, what, 53, so,
yeah,
you know, like, I live up in Baxter, I, you know, moved back to Piers and helped her with the tent business, but, yeah, music was still a void that she didn't have.
Yeah.
You know, was a void, so, like, she... Yeah, so, you know, it took like 2 years, and then she started getting back to it and playing with Jerry Beersdock. And
yeah.
And yeah, they've yeah, that's definitely part of her life that, you know, once it's taken away and it's been a major part of your life, you know, you
absolutely
avoid. So yeah, she's enjoying it.
Well, we admire her so much for her valor. So as she told me or tells me, back in those days, she just didn't want to have anything to do with the music or with anything after Gilly was gone. And then some good friends, several months later, were going to a polka dance, and they said, "Joyce, you're coming with us," and kind of didn't give her any, you know, chance to back out or anything. "You're coming with." And so she did. And she said, "Oh my gosh," she said, "I felt so good when I was at the dance." And then she danced with her friend there. They got out and danced a few times, and she just couldn't believe how good it made her feel. And then after a couple of times going, somebody was playing, and they said, "You need to get up there and sing and play guitar." And she did. And she said she's been doing it ever since, and it just does her heart good. And you can only imagine your dad up there looking down and saying, "Good for you, Joyce," being so proud of her, continuing on, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. And I know he'd be doing that, too, because, you know, like I always heard the stories when they started the Country Folk Tears, she was so shy, she didn't want any part of that stage. She didn't want to play or sing in front of people. And he was the one support system that kept on pushing her. So now that she's still doing that, I guarantee he's smiling.
Oh, he is.
He's enjoying it. So,
you bet. Sure. And Joyce also tells the story of when she started, and that was before they were married. Sue Kleiber was the guitar player back then and the vocalist. Yep. And so she was quitting. And so Gilly said, "What am I going to do?" And she said, "Well, get Joyce." Joyce was a student of hers. And so he had her try out, and sure, she did real good. Well, then as they went along, they became a couple. And but Joyce said that she just wanted to sing. She didn't want to play guitar. And Gilly says, "Oh, no, everybody has to pull their weight in the band." It's just so funny when I think about those two and how that must have played out. And she said, "Oh, no, I don't want to play guitar. I want to sing." And Gilly says, "No, you got to play guitar. You got to pull your weight." So that's how it went, as it was told to me over the years there.
Yep, no, that's exactly. And just think about it. I think they played for 28 years.
Well,
raised five kids, run a farm, music all over. They did everything together, and yeah, one was no stronger than the other one, that's for sure.
Sure.
It was pretty awesome.
And I think your dad still found time to take you guys out fishing once in a while and do some other things too besides?
Oh, yeah. We would always go on a week vacation. We'd go to a cabin somewhere and go fishing if we got done doing hay work or whatever we were doing at home. Chores got done early, then we'd 7 o'clock we'd go fishing. I mean, that was a big passion of his too, was fishing. And I always tell my boys and all the other nephews that we have, because we have a lot of boys, and our siblings had a lot of boys, that I mean, he would have, he'd make up a reason to go fishing every day with him. He would have definitely took that on as a good pleasure. So
yeah, and yet he was a hard worker and a good farmer. You guys, how many acres were you on there with the farm?
I think total was like 320 acres.
You bet. So you put in the crops every year. He was part of that, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then dairy farm, how many cows did you milk approximately back in those years?
It was always between like 60 and 70.
Wow. And then the dance jobs, of course, and a lot of those were further away. So he had to lean on you guys to make sure that the cows got milk or the chores got done because they had to leave early to travel, huh?
Yeah, once he seen that that us boys, you know, we could reach the pipeline, whether it be a 5-gallon pail or whatever the case is, and then you know, we wanted to show him that we could do it, but then after we did, we were probably regretting that because then he knew we could do it.
Oh yes, yep. And
yep, we all work together.
You bet. And he was such a leader. I mean, he was such a strong person in a cordial way, a gentleman way. I had many conversations with him. He'd come to St. Joe to the meat market, and especially in the later years when he needed music. He knew that I sold music and looking to record another CD or something. They were looking for new songs, and so he would inquire and ask me about CDs. And oh my gosh, if I'd go out to the car with him, I had to be careful because it get turned into 20 minutes or a half hour, and I didn't. I was on the clock. I didn't want to be scolded for being outside too long, but he had so much information to give. He was such a great person.
Yeah, he was. I mean, like, even his bare mitts for pods, you know, like how he could hit those buttons without hitting two of them or the wrong one, kind of always baffled me. But, yeah, If he had the chance to talk to you, he never looked by you. He always wanted to conversate and he always took the time and he enjoyed talking. I know he enjoyed talking to you because he'd always tell me when he'd go down there and talk to you. But like he loved people.
He did. I don't know that he had an enemy in the world because every time I seen him, whether it was a dance job or at the meat market or wherever, I might have run into him. Had a smile on his face. He was a good person.
Absolutely. Even when we were young and we'd want to, you know, if we were with him on a job, Jim and I putting the drums away, we have all everything packed up and he'd be sitting by a table talking to a couple or two. And we would jokingly be like, you know, gosh, somebody put another dollar in that jukebox because it's going to go for another 10 minutes now. He liked to socialize for sure.
You bet. Some of the other great polkateers, and a lot of them are gone already, but Jack Hapke, you knew Jack well?
Yeah, Jack was a really nice, he was a bass horn player, and yeah, he was a little more quiet. He opened up over the years, but very good and super nice guy. And
just passing away a couple of years ago.
Right.
Dave Larson. Dave, of course, that last dance job that your dad played, that was his 50th wedding anniversary at the Falls Ballroom there. And at that time, Dave was well, but he's gone now too. Sax player, huh?
Yeah, yep, and they enjoyed playing with him. He was a true professional too. He was really, really good. So they another good player for sure.
You bet. And I know your sister Jennifer really connected with Dave. The horns there, she was trumpet, and so that last recording, Polkateers for 35 years. I know she would call me for CDs too. The song that they were looking for was the starting song on that album, Good Old Mountain Dew. And so I remember her calling me for that. Were you old enough to know Ernie Marshak?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
okay.
I actually graduated with one of his daughters. But, yeah, he was a super nice guy, too.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I'm sure there were more. Those are the ones that I remember that I know. But, yeah. We've kind of mentioned some of the main ones from over the years. So
Adrian Sawada was
another
one.
Oh, yes, yes. I forgot about him. Yes, Adrian, too. Yeah.
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 Yeah, a lot of good. And I think that's what makes a good band, you know, or for them is, like, everybody's different. But when they got together, they all enjoyed each other's company. They all took their craft seriously, and they all made sure they had fun, you know. I know they always had fun. They never complained about going to a playing job just because the people around them made it fun.
You bet. And, you know, with sports teams, whether it's baseball, football, or anything, they always talk about chemistry. If you have the right chemistry on the team, you're going to be a whole lot more successful. And I think that carries over to the band business. If there's somebody that doesn't get along with the other one or this or that, it's going to be a long night of work. But I think the Country Polketeers always had good chemistry in their band.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it. Absolutely.
You bet. Well, Eric, we're winding down on time here, and I usually get to this part of the program where I ask the guest if they have a special memory that they'd like to share with the listeners. And in your case, it could be a memory of growing up with the family at home on the farm, or it could be of the band. Or what do you have for us today? What comes to mind first for you?
Oh, there's a lot of memories. I mean, playing-wise memories, I would just, say for practicing, Dad would bring his electric guitar downstairs, and we would practice doing, like, Wipeout or some faster songs and just waltzes and polkas, you know, and get into it and jam down there. And that was always a good memory when we were practicing.
Sure.
Even some playing jobs where they'd do some country sets and stuff like that, and you could just see they were – Mom and Dad were having fun up there, and you could let loose a little bit more on the drum set. That was always good memories. And then just getting the chores done early enough so we could leave at 6:30, 7 o'clock, maybe even started at half an hour early of milking so we could go fishing and just go into Peavy Lake or somewhere, Platte Lake, and getting your limit of sunfish, crappies, just little times like that, or going on vacations, like our week-long vacations were always like the staple of a summer, you know, so those are really good memories too. So
you
just
bet.
A lot of them.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to save some time to play music by the Country Polketeers. Did you have a favorite song that the Country Polketeers did, polkas or waltzes, or even the country or gospel ones? What comes to mind? What did you like, especially with drumming?
I always liked their country, a little bit of faster beat ones, but they have so many good songs. I guess I can't really think of one off the top of my head, but I know my grandparents, like when they'd go and watch them, Waltz Across Texas was always their one that they loved them playing. But yeah, there was a lot of them. So.
And they're all good. You bet. Well, Eric, we want to take this opportunity to thank you for joining us on our Musicians Come and Play program. And every week I tell every guest this, that if the good Lord is willing and that you are here and I'm here again, we'll do this again sometime. How's that for you?
That sounds great, Si. Like I said, Mom always talked really highly of you, said just a nice, sociable or warm person to talk to you were, and for what you do, and remembering Dad like this, honestly, like, That's pretty important, you know, that, like, to our family it is, you know, it makes
you
feel
bet.
Good, so
you
appreciate
bet.
It.
Yep, and his musical family goes far and wide, so there's a lot of people listening today that are sharing our sentiments. So, yeah, we totally all miss him tremendously, and we'd have certainly wished for a different outcome, but, you know, we know there's a higher power, and we go with what he decided to do, so... Any rate, we're going to let you run. I'll talk to you off the air here in just a moment. But, Eric, you have a great day. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Si.
You bet.
Thanks, Si. You too, bud.
Okay. And there he goes, Mr. Eric Mouse. And he is our 559th guest here on our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. Don't go away. We've got music coming up by the Country Polketeers in just moments. Thank you. Larry Razavian is Out of Town Checks with a theme. Musicians Come and Play wrapping up right there. Wrapping up our 559th edition of our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. Eric Mouse, the son of Gilly and Joyce Mouse, joining us today, helping us remember Gilly Mouse. It's going to be 15 years on Saturday that Gilly left us and left a big void in the music world. Yes, he was a very good musician, great personality. Great husband, father, grandfather, just a friend to so many people, and missed by all. Well, we got music coming up by the Country Polketeers. Here's one of my favorite songs by the Country Polketeers. This comes off of their very first recording, especially for you. It's one called the Guido Polka. Country Polketeers with the Guido Polka. Yes, you bet. They had such a style of their own. They were so good to dance to and such a fun band to listen to, the Country Polketeers. Right now, another one. This one features Gilly and Joyce on the vocal. One called Moonlight and Roses. Thank you. Country Polka Tears, you bet. 26 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. That was one called Moonlight and Roses Polka. And that's an old Bernie Roberts tune. And Gillian Joyce doing a marvelous job on that one. The vocals, Moonlight and Roses Polka. It's old time waltz time. Here's a great rendition of the Brewer's Waltz with the Country Polka Tears. Country Polka Tears there with Brewer's Waltz. And yeah, lots of phone calls coming in. Folks enjoying the program. I heard from one of our listeners over in Sauk Center that we were talking about Noel Meyer, their drummer, being killed that night. And it was actually a shower dance that night at the New Munich Coliseum. And it was for Vern Frericks and his wife, their shower dance. And their shower dance, they'll be married 50 years this year. By coincidence, their anniversary on the 12th, the same day as Gilly died. So, always ironies in life. So, there you go. All righty. Well, we are in the first portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet. And that's always brought to us by Jeannie B's Tours out of Freeport and now St. Joe. And Jeannie texting in saying, Happy 4th. And here you go. For summer fun, Jeannie B's Tours says, just pick one. So here are just some fun-filled ideas for you. So there's Jasper's Theater musical shows on August 7th and September 20th. Then there's the Autumn Colors of Gull Lake, the boat cruise luncheon on September 11th, and Nisswa. And then Greece, September 24th at the Chanhassen, the Church Basement Ladies on the 20th, anniversary show on August 15th, out of your back door mystery tour on September 16th or fall at the Minnesota Arboretum. There are still 10 seats waiting for you on board for the Northwoods Escape days, and that is July 29th through the 30th. This tour includes the Gull Lake Boat Cruise, Itasca Park, Jasper's Jukebox 50s and 60s show, lodging at the Northern Lights Casino in Walker. And then on September 1st through the 3rd, you can enjoy the beauty of Up the North Shore for a great three-day getaway. Autumn Sights and Slots will be 3 days of Wisconsin sightseeing during the day with casino lodging each evening. Extended tours are filling fast. Plan to attend Jeannie B's Tours meet and greet this week on Tuesday, July 8th at Jeannie B's new office, and that's located at 124 First Avenue Southeast in St. Joe. Sessions are from 9 to 11:30 and 1 to 3:30. Tours to be presented are Jeannie B's extended flyout tours to Alaska, Ireland, Hawaii, New England, Canadian Rockies, Germany and Austria, Ireland or Iceland, California Railways, the Pacific Northwest, Coastal Maine, Music Cities Tour, and Washington, D.C. Just call Jeannie B's Tours 320-345-1581 for any information on any of the tours planned for you and your traveling friends and family. Now is the time to reserve your seats for any tours this fall and 2026. Jeannie's favorite saying is, remember, seeing is believing. That's all for you today on Jeannie B's Tours, as she gives us information from the office in Freeport and now in St. Joe. And yes, personal experience, fun traveling group to travel with. Jeannie keeps life interesting. You'll have a great time when you travel with Jeannie B's Tours. As she proudly brings us the final first portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM. Back to the music of the Country Polketeers. Here's a nice polka tune, one called the Lumberjack Polka. Country Polketeers, and boy, they had a lively beat. It was so fun to dance to the Country Polketeers. That one, the Lumberjack Polka. Here's a nice waltz tune recorded by many bands over the years. Here's the Country Polketeers with their rendition of the Midnight Waltz. Thank you. Country Polka Tears. That comes off of their Country Polka Tears for 35 years recording. One called The Midnight Waltz, 23 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock. And we're in the final portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet, always brought to us by Kevin's Countryside, home of those Hustler brand zero-turn lawnmowers. Kevin's located 6 miles northwest of St. Joe on County Road 3, the west side of the road. And yes, that Hustler is the original zero-turn lawnmower. It helps eliminate the extra trimming and mowing of your lawn. Kevin, always with a nice inventory of brand new Hustlers on hand. He's got one out there with your name on it. Just go out there and check for yourself. And of course, Kevin does repair work on all makes and models. He can change your lubricants, belts, and hoses. He can sharpen your blades. Kevin also accepts trades, so he'll make you a sweet deal on your present lawnmower. As always, for more information, or if you're going to go out there and see him, give him a call first. His phone number, 320-363-7459. Again, he's a busy guy. He makes hay. He cultivates corn. He plants and puts in the fields. He harvests. He's kind of a one-man operation out there. And then when he's not farming and doing field work, he's in the shop repairing lawnmowers for people that need them tweaked or maybe the blades sharpened or belts or hoses repaired, whatever the case might be. And then, if he wasn't busy enough, he took on the Eagle brand 56-volt lithium battery-powered equipment line. So he carries handheld blowers, backpack blowers, there's chainsaws and pole saws, there's self-propelled lawnmowers, and more. They're all powered by that powerful 56-volt lithium battery. Again, for more information, give Kevin a call, 320-363-7459. That's Kevin's Countryside. Always a nice drive out to his place along County Road 3 there. You get out there about 6 miles from St. Joe, and you'll find him there with the big sign hanging on the ditch that on the pole that says Kevin's Countryside. Nice tar driveway that takes you right into his place, and you can try out those lawnmowers. He'll let you cut part of the lawn, cut the whole lawn if you want, and you'll have a good idea how great those lawnmowers are. Kevin's Countryside, he brings us our final portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM. 22 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock, time for just a couple more selections. The Country Polka Tears do a nice one here. It's called Old Love Letters. Country Polketeers with one called Old Love Letters. That was Joyce on the vocal there. Takes us to 17 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock. Time to wrap up another edition of our musical treat for Dancing Feet. And we're going to do that with the song that Eric mentioned that his grandparents always enjoyed. It's Waltz Across Texas with the Country Polketeers. Country Polketeers with one called Waltz Across Texas, wrapping up our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM.